to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Broadcasting live from the State House in Montgomery. Sounds a little icky. We're just dealing with acoustical issues, a bunch of different things. But we are here, and we are appreciative of State House Majority Leader Scott Stadag and always making accommodations for us. So we're going to make the best of it from here on out. In the meantime, if you want to text, get in 251-343-0106, and I'll try to make time to respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. But joining us now, he hails from Etowah County, and he and I are catching up a couple of Auburn alum here, but State Representative Craig Lipscomb joins us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Jeff?
We're making it. Well, it's good to be back in action up here after a few weeks off, but that's mm-hmm. Nothing's really changed.
No, it's kind of like the same thing, different day. Around here,
still chaotic. It's still
exactly.
Kinda,
you never really know what you're doing. You're just always constantly doing something.
It's just drabby old State House. So,
exactly.
<yeah.
laughs> you're trying to blow your nose and get all the mold and mildew out of your sinuses.
Exactly. Yeah. I look around this. I mean, it's just. And there's a lack of space, and people are competing over rooms,
and clearly we have no Wi-Fi available. So,
another gripe about that. I was telling the guys on the morning show, like, you guys want to designate rural broadband for the state, but can't get the internet quite right in your old building.
Well, we were contemplating putting a clothes hanger with some tinfoil on it out the window for you, but
that might be better. Actually,
I was told that technically wouldn't work, but you know. We were going to do whatever we could. We were there for you.
Well, it's a bumpy ride, to say the least. Let's get started here. And I've been asked about this stuff on my show. I am not as coached up on it, maybe as I ought to be. But the you're handling Alabama's version of the squatters reform or whatever it is. Tell us about what you're working on there.
Yeah, that's correct. We a lot of people are referring to it as a squatters rights law. I think it's actually the opposite of that. We're not trying to give squatters rights. We're trying to give the owners rights is what we're trying to do. Alabama's one of those states that really didn't address this. I mean, you have to go way back in time. Let's go back to like the gold rush. Okay. People are matriculating across the country. They're getting on sometimes virgin soil, trying to get to where they can make a buck, and wherever they land is where they're going to put up a little shanty and live. And it's not their property. You know, they would live there and maybe homestead it and stay for 20 years or so. Well, then they would, by some federal regulations, get some rights to ownership. Well, that's pretty antiquated. That doesn't happen anymore.
Right. You know,
I think most everybody can say, hey, that piece of dirt or that building belongs to somebody. That's pretty evident. And what we're finding is that you've got numerous people, whether it's illegal aliens, just bad actors, any number of folks are taking over various private properties across the country simply because they can. And there are some states who are encouraging that. We want to, in Alabama, discourage that because we believe that if it's your property, then you have the right to say who's going to be on it and who's not going to be on it.
Well, and I know a lot of different states are dealing with this, and I brought up Florida, but it's this idea. I guess it was one of these shows I saw where they were kind of mocking the squatters' rights idea concept, and somebody had leased out their condo on Airbnb, and then the person just never left, and under state law in California, they had squatters' rights. So this is that kind of thing that happens.
That's right. I think even in New York, if you inhabit a property for greater than maybe 30 days, you know, some people vacation for 30, not me, but some people vacation for 30 days, you could legally claim that as your property at that point. And that's just insane to me. You know, I don't think I have to explain to the general public why that's insane. I mean, if you've worked your whole life to create a nest egg, to maybe buy a second home, or you've got a house that you have make income off of by leasing it or renting it, or perhaps it's a family member, a mother or father who's elderly and they're in the nursing home, and you've got an empty residence. Now all of a sudden somebody's inhabiting it illegally, we needed a means by which we could get those people off that premises. And that's exactly what this bill will do, is give our law enforcement officers and our court systems the ability to, as efficiently as possible, get those people off your private property.
Well, tell me, I mean, how often do you hear about these sort of situations where you do have a, you know, some sort of a situation where a squatter has inhabited your property and then they get, is having difficulty evicting that squatter?
You know, the funny thing was, is I really never heard of that until about a year ago. And I had one person who brought the subject up to me. And I thought, you know what, this is a situation we need to address in the state. And so it's been a year ago that I began trying to formulate this legislation, well before Florida, as far as I know. But we move a little slower than they do. But as the knowledge of this bill has, you know, been dispersed across the state, now all of a sudden I'm hearing so many reports of it happening. Scores and scores of people have been contacting me and their local representatives saying, hey, you need to support Lipscomb's bill. This is a good thing. It's something that we need to have happen.
Well, let's talk about the process, kind of where we are, where it's headed and where it needs to be.
Yeah, so the bill itself has passed the Judiciary Committee in the House, which, as you know, is a difficult committee.
Yeah,
especially
in its current composition.
Yeah,
right?
It took actually two iterations to get that through. We had to make a substantial substitute to the bill to make some people happy, but we got that done. And it was picked in rules yesterday. It's on the floor tomorrow, so hopefully that will get passed, and then it's going to be headed upstairs to the Senate, where Senator Elliott's going to be taking it over from there.
Well, and you feel pretty good about it, right?
I do.
Yeah,
I feel very good about it. I think it's a good piece of legislation. It's fair to all parties. It does even protect those people who might be on a piece of property who are there legally, and you might have the bad actor, in this case, might be the owner of the property, who's just like, you know what, I don't want that tenant anymore. I may have a contract with them, but I'm going to, you know, try to force them off. That wouldn't be right. So, you know, it's fair. It takes care of everybody involved in an appropriate way, and I think everybody's happy with what's going on here, and I think it's going to be great for the state.
We're joined by State Representative Craig Lipscomb on the program. I asked one of your colleagues earlier, Representative Dubose, this separately. The session so far, what's your assessment? I mean, you've been doing this, you know, a while. This is a much different sort of management style than what we saw in the last quadrennium. But at this moment right now, I mean, you got a lot accomplished this first half, and we still got the budgets out there looming. Mm-hmm. And then after the budgets, I mean, that's usually when you get the free for all. But maybe you don't necessarily have anything like that. So BIR right now seems more, whereas it was sort of a hurdle you had to get past in the past, it seems like a formality now. But what's your outlook here for the rest of the way?
I don't know. This session's felt kind of different from previous ones in recent history. You know, it seems that every year since I've been elected, we've always had that one big issue right at the beginning. I mean, that's just every stinking time we've got to deal with a big issue. You never can really ease into a session. This was no different. We had a big issue right at the beginning.
Right.
But usually right after that is dealt with, everything starts to kind of move along pretty rapidly. It's like you've primed the engine on the locomotive and now it's really rolling down the tracks. But I don't feel like we've really got that momentum yet. It's been a bit sluggish. We've got a lot of good bills out there that just aren't moving the way that I'm accustomed to seeing them move. And I'm not really sure why. It's probably numerous different reasons for that. And I'm not necessarily a fan of introducing a lot of legislation just for the sake of it. You know, I'm a small government guy. I think most of us are. Nevertheless, we do have good legislation out there that would be great for the state that just, I'm concerned, may not make it to the end this time.
Well, tell me, because I heard the same thing from Susan Dubose. She's got some bills that she's, you know, so she wants to get done. I mean, now look, this is not a usual session. Is it reasonable to think that there's a lot that can be accomplished in these 4 or 5 weeks to go?
Yeah, but you have to be really, really efficient with your time. You know, you can almost put days to the amount of logistical time that it takes to accomplish what has to be accomplished to get a bill to the governor's desk. And if you were to backtrack it from the final day, I'm not so sure that if you don't get something past the floor of the House within the next week and a half,
you're out of time.
You're pretty much out of time. Yeah, you just can't expect the process to work.
Well, and the big one still out there is gambling. I mean, no one seems to, leadership's playing their cards really close here.
Yeah.
No one seems to know what's going to happen there. Do you have any idea?
They're not giving us a lot of information, to be honest with you. I really don't know where we are with that thing. We know that we've got two competing bills. We've got a bill from the House. We've got a bill from the Senate. And I have to assume that they're working behind closed doors to come to a compromise, but I truly don't know.
That's another one of these, like you said, though, time can run out. If it doesn't move soon, then you just it's gonna be like it is always is. We'll look at it next year, right?
Right.
And even though you had the early head start, you roped out, 2 weeks, the very beginning of this session.
Yeah.
They were in this ground halt, this ground delay, and still not able to kind of move the ball at all. Huh?
I think we're going to have to get these bill sponsors and lock them in a room without food or water and just tell them, you're not coming out until you get it figured out. Because, the majority of the state wants to see something happen. Everybody's got their differing opinions on it. I mean, as you know, There are some members in each house that had to vote for it or had to vote against it based upon what their constituents wanted. But the reality of the matter is that the majority of the state wants to see some kind of legislation passed. And I think it is incumbent upon us to do our very best to give them what they're looking for. And right now it doesn't look like that's going to happen. And that's unfortunate. You've got to get something done. We've been kicking this can down the road a long time.
Let's move into your field of expertise here. Listeners may or may not know this, but you're also a practicing architect.
I am. I love what I do. I don't get to do enough of it because I spend a lot of time down here in Montgomery. But, I do a lot of commercial architectural designs, the kind of stuff people use every day, whether it's their doctor's office or their school or whatever the case may be. And that's kind of where I live.
Well, New State House, you go whenever I had to go park like 20 blocks away to get here.
Yeah, you have to fly in.
I have like a bus or something, but there's work going on. Are you satisfied with the product the RSA is putting together there?
Well, I believe they're doing what's considered a design build format, which it means that you get a concept put together. You know what the thing is going to look like,
right.
but a lot of people don't understand architecture or engineering design. There's a lot more than just what it looks like that goes into the construction component of it and the details that are necessary to do that construction. And so what's happening is as they design components of it, say, for example, the structural, they're going to pass that on to the contractor and they're going to begin to implement that while they're still designing other parts of the building. And so that's what's happening right now is they have been out there. They've done a lot of excavation. They've been doing a lot of pilings, prep work to get all that structural steel put in. And it's taken a heck of a lot of time because there's a lot of concrete going in the ground right now.
Well, tell me something. This construction management sort of era we're in, and you just bid a job and the chips fell where they may. Well, construction management, and not so much on the state house, but the prisons, and just the escalating cost and not really having anything set in stone when you begin. Like, it made sense from a cost effective standpoint at one time, but in this like era of like high inflation and supply chain issues and everything like that, isn't necessarily the best approach for government to take in construction.
Yeah, well, I think the state house is kind of a unique thing in that that we're not utilizing state funds or state resources of any kind to do that particular project as a third party. But when it relates to anything else in the world, I'm a big fan of the traditional
bid process.
Right. I feel like You get the thing fully designed, you put it in front of a bunch of contractors, and the most qualified one with the lowest price is the winner at the end of the day. It's tried and true. It's been done for a million years, and I like it. The design build process works when you have a contractor that you utilize on a regular basis, especially if you're reproducing a product that you've done numerous times or something similar.
But you have a relationship with that contractor. Yeah, but something big like these mega prisons, I mean, it doesn't seem to be going that well.
I didn't like that format. I made that comment from the very beginning. I don't like the way that was handled. It means that you don't get a locked-in number on the front end. That troubles me, you know, and I think we're seeing the side effects of that at the moment.
Especially if you bid it and you could come in and lowball it, be the lowest bid, and then know later on you can
change order to death.
Yeah, yeah. That's just not good government for us to. I know this is a much bigger problem, but that seems like you can fix that. You clear up a lot of problems on these big projects like that.
I agree. I don't know that we've ever done that process before now, but I think the reasoning for that was the expediency of the project.
Right.
The feds were hammering us. They were like, you've got to get this done.
Well, here we are 3 years later after that special session, and
fairness, those are big projects. You know, it's going to take some time. Should it have taken 3 years? I don't know. I don't know enough about the projects to say what they should have taken, but they will take a good bit of time to get done.
3 years, and they're just still kind of barely breaking ground in Elmore County. They even started in Escambia County. It seems like because you guys went through that special session, rush, rush, hurry up offense.
Yeah.
You got it done. And, oh, we're ready to break ground. We're ready to go. And then it's like, oh, well, wait a minute, you know?
Yeah.
And this is post-COVID. This wasn't like a COVID thing.
Right. I would have to believe that if we would have done the traditional bid build process, then what you would have seen is some incentive to get that done more efficiently and more expediently, because the contractor's losing money every day they're not on the job site.
Right.
Clearly, clearly this is a little different in that, I don't know what the terms of the contracts are, so forgive me for not knowing that, but I would guess that that's why it's dragging on a bit, is because there's some squish in there somewhere.
I think you're right. Hey, I represent, we're out of time, but you're very kind to come on such short notice.
And, thank you for having
me. Let's do it again soon.
Absolutely.
State Representative Craig Lipscomb right there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. But honey, now.